Our main focus is to understand how tumors become resistant to hormone therapy. What we've discovered over the years, our group as well as others, is that there's this relationship between growth factor receptors and their activity, such as HER2 and others, and the estrogen receptor pathway. And in a sense, these pathways talk to each other and amplify the signals coming from each. And we have data from our laboratory studies and other laboratories that is beginning to be supported now from results of clinical studies, that one of the ways that tumors can become resistant not only to tamoxifen, but also to estrogen deprivation therapies like aromatase inhibitors, is this crosstalk between growth factor pathways and estrogen receptor. And so if that's the case, then it might make sense to try and block both pathways simultaneously in the appropriate tumor to get your maximum benefit. So that if you have a tumor, for instance, that expresses estrogen receptor and overexpresses HER2, our data would suggest that if you're going to get the optimal benefit from those therapies, you need to target both. That is, you're not going to get a very good result by simply using Herceptin to block HER2 and leaving the estrogen receptor wide open, nor would you make much ground by blocking the estrogen receptor and leaving HER2 wide open, because they crosstalk with each other. So what our group has been doing most recently is trying to see how we can best block those pathways, particularly the HER2 pathway. And we've found that while drugs like Herceptin or trastuzumab, drugs like gefitinib, drugs like lapatinib block the HER2 EGFR pathway, alone they don't do it optimally. And therefore, combinations of those therapies are needed to block all of the different, what are called heterodimer pairs that form between these different family of receptors. And what we've found now is that if you block all of the possible combinations, at least in mouse models of human breast cancer, we can eradicate them very, very frequently in mice. And those concepts are now just starting to be tested in clinical trials where we're using combinations, say, of lapatinib plus trastuzumab, or combinations of gefitinib plus trastuzumab plus another drug called pertuzumab that's being developed that is effective in blocking certain molecules in the HER2 family. So that's our major interest now, is to try and discover what these molecular mechanisms of resistance are and then to block them therapeutically.
Where does fulvestrant fit into this whole story?
In our studies, fulvestrant, which, as you know, is a more pure antagonist of the estrogen receptor and also induces receptor degradation, it behaves very much like an aromatase inhibitor would work. An aromatase inhibitor works by depriving the receptor of its activating ligand, estrogen, whereas fulvestrant works by blocking and getting rid of the estrogen receptor. But the end result seems to be the same, at least in experimental models. And therefore, the mechanisms of resistance to one are identical to the mechanisms of resistance to the other. Now, I think in patients, that's not always true. Most patients who develop resistance to one of those therapies are, in fact, resistant to the other. But there are some in whom fulvestrant works after an aromatase inhibitor no longer works. So certainly, there are other mechanisms of resistance than the one we're focusing on. We think this is just one of many. But by and large, I think that the mechanisms of action of those two drugs, in the end, inhibit the estrogen receptor pathway very similarly. One gets rid of the receptor, the other gets rid of the hormone. But the end result is very similar.
You know, from a non-laboratory scientific point of view, I've always had this concept of AI's so-called resetting the estrogen stat. Does that tie into what happens when resistance develops to AIs or maybe even fulvestrant?
I think it depends on the type of tumor to begin with. If the tumor is one that doesn't have a lot of growth factor receptor activity, like a HER2 negative, an EGFR low, an IGF receptor low tumor, then what seems to happen when you deprive the tumor of estrogen for a long period of time, estrogen receptor continues to be expressed, sometimes at even higher levels. And you're right, the thermostat for response to estrogen changes such that the tumor may be growth stimulated by minute amounts of estrogen. And that could be a mechanism of resistance in some situations. And that, by the way, is also somewhat dependent on increasing growth factor receptor signaling, which seems to be involved in resetting this thermostat. by activating the estrogen receptor in a what's called a ligand-independent way, so that now, even though there's no estrogen around, or very little of it, the estrogen receptor is still activated, so it may respond to very, very minute amounts of estrogen.